Good morning, everyone. Our reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. You can find that on page 64 if you want to follow along. Now, there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. And though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his clothes. And immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Then Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I noticed the power had gone out from me." When the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had immediately been healed. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. I want to start today by posing a question to you all. There's no right answer to this question, so don't worry about, you know, getting it right. There's actually lots of different right answers, but I want you to answer with the first thing that pops into your mind. All right, here we go. You're actually, close your eyes first. So everyone, close your eyes. Now, with your finger, I want you to point and answer the question, where is God? So everybody do that. And then keep your fingers up and then open your eyes to see where people are pointing. You can look around and see where people are pointing. I see a lot of people doing circles, big circles. I see a lot of ups. I went up. Got a lot of different diverse ideas about where God is. And actually, that's one of my favorite things about our tradition, is that God is above all and in all and through all. God watches over us and stands beside us and dwells within us. God is here and there and everywhere. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss story over here. But sometimes, the best times, God can feel close enough to touch. Our scripture today is one of my favorite stories in the Gospels, and it's a story about a woman who touched God. But this just isn't just any woman. She faces this triple threat of social stigmas. She's a woman, she's ill, and she is impoverished. Our story opens and tells us this woman has been suffering from this debilitating blood illness for the past 12 years. In her culture, this disease put her in the category of unclean and impure. And not only is she seen as impure, but everything she touches, people, objects, food, clothing, everything she touches becomes unclean too. So she's this patient zero of this impurity epidemic, which meant that she was physically and socially quarantined. So this woman is gravely ill, but she's also spent every single dime she had, and she's now suffering in poverty because she's got nothing left, and she has not been cured yet either. No doctor's been able to help her. The bank account is empty, and so she's doubly marginalized. She can't participate in society physically or financially. So together, this woman's illness and her poverty have pushed her into this position, the lowest social position possible. She's physically injured, she's financially ruined, and she's there in the middle of this crowd, and because of those things, facing public shame and social isolation. This is the woman we encounter in this story, desperate for healing, desperate for understanding, desperate for belonging to a community again. Desperate to know where her life is headed. And yet, in the midst of that, this woman hears something. She's heard about this person who heals people. She's heard about how life changes when you're with him. She's heard about the faith that people have in him. She's heard about this community he's building, this new kingdom that he's bringing. She's heard about this new hope that people have. She's heard about Jesus. And so something in this woman comes alive, and this is my favorite part. She just stops caring about every single thing that society puts on her, and she moves forward to go after what she needs. She just goes for it. She makes her way through this crowd of folks, and you have to remember that every arm she touches, every hand, every shoulder, every garment is now unclean. She's making a mess of everybody and everything. She's risking all sorts of judgments and repudiation by the people around her. But she does it, and she does it with faith and boldness. With all she has, she moves towards Jesus. And finally, she touches just the fringe, just the edge of the cloak that Jesus was wearing. The text doesn't say how she felt, but I imagine she felt grace and peace and warmth. I imagine she felt finally at home in her body for the first time in years. This glimmer of hope after over a decade of despair and illness. And I imagine she felt the biggest, most beautiful exhale of her life. That's what I imagine. Because she had felt God. All of God. God was right there, and she felt God with her own hand because God was close enough to touch. But friends, what if the story went another way? What if instead this woman who had mustered up all the courage and hope in her heart, what if she reached out and all she felt was some dirty fabric? As some of you may know, last month I began working on a new project. I'm interviewing and having conversations with folks of all ages and backgrounds here in the city of San Francisco, folks who used to be a part of Christian communities, but they're no longer active or no longer part of them anymore. And we've been having really candid conversations about where they're at in their spiritual lives, what folks think of church, and what their hope for Christianity is. And soon I'm going to be posting those conversations online so you'll get to read them and listen to them. But I wanted to share a common theme that came up in some of the first conversations that I've begun having. Many of the folks I spoke of were part of really vibrant church communities. They were active in serving and doing mission work. They had deep prayer lives for many, many years. They were, for all intents and purposes, they were doing Christianity right. They were doing all the right things. They told me about these beautiful moments. I asked them, when did you feel connected to God, the most intimately connected and close to God? And they told me about summer camps of dancing and singing songs, or quiet evenings in a chapel reciting prayers, or a Sunday mass singing a song about God's deep personal love. But as the years passed and they continued to do these things, they felt God moving further and further and further away. Like the ailing woman in our story, they'd heard about Jesus, the story about love and hope and healing and belonging and peace that comes from Jesus. And so they ran to it with all they had. But when they reached out to touch Jesus, eventually all they felt was dirty fabric. There wasn't anything there anymore. For them, the God that used to be close enough to touch had become a faraway God, if God was even there at all. And yet, somehow in that space, they told me that there was still this desire, this hope, that God might still somehow break into their lives. They just happened to not anymore expect it at a church. So it made me ask the question, what are God's people doing to make God real? What are we doing to make God close enough to touch? When I look at the fact that when I ask the question, where is God, I did this, and so many other people, we point up, I can't help but wonder if at this moment in time, not all of us, but many of us have pushed or put God far away. When right now, in a very confusing and very overwhelming time in our city, in our world, we need God to be closer than ever. This morning, we read one of Paul's letters where he talks about the body of Christ. He talks about the hands, feet, eyes, and ears of the body of Christ. And it's such a beautiful metaphor for the diversity of the church and the work that we do and all that we are. But I wonder if it's more than just a metaphor. I wonder if Paul just talks about bodies because he knows we need to feel with all of our bodies this intimate, real connection with who God is. We need to feel God's love, not just think about it, but feel it in our hearts, in our guts, in our whole selves. And that's why we need the church, and we need people who are real human hands and feet and eyes and ears to help us and help the world do that. Our Lenten season begins in just a few weeks. We'll be diving into our denomination's call to be a Matthew 25 church, which is an actively engaged church that is really connected and committed to serving the realities of our world. One of the themes that we'll be focusing on is congregational vitality. What can bring congregations to life? And as I sat with that, frankly, I couldn't think of anything that would make a church more alive than bringing God closer. Really, really close. And this community already does that in so many ways, with community dinners, with food pantries, with vital life-giving mission work, and all of the ministries that have been born in the walls and in the minds and with the hard work of this community. But what if we took that to the next level and we imagine that everyone who walked through our doors, everyone we encountered in our lives, could experience an electric moment with God, just like the woman in our story today? How can we begin to touch in big ways, in small ways, all of those people who have reached out to God and are still waiting for that moment of warmth and peace and grace and deep, unconditional love and acceptance? There are a million answers to that question, and a million exciting ways that the Spirit will lead us. But I wonder if we might begin by grounding ourselves right now back in the reality of God's closeness. So as I close today, I want to invite us into a space of meditation together. The bulletin says to grab your hymnals, but don't do it. Just sit in this space and sit in the music. But I do invite you, if you're comfortable, to find someone near you and reach out and hold their hand. If that feels uncomfortable, I invite you to clasp your own hand, but have a hand to hold. And then I invite you to close your eyes and take a deep breath in and out. And I want you to feel the hand that you're holding. About 2,000 years ago, our tradition says, God's hand was as real as that hand that you're holding. God's hands, Jesus' hands, really touched people just like you and healed people just like you and held people just like you and welcomed people and pointed to a new kingdom of love that included people just like you. God's hands, God's whole self, was close enough to touch. But even now, right at this moment, know that the loving God of the universe is just as real and just as close. God's infinite peace, magnificent warmth, unstoppable grace, boundless hope, and strong embrace is right here, as real as the hand you're holding. Wonderful God, who's close enough to touch, we thank you for coming to touch our lives. We thank you for Jesus, who showed us all of who you are, and for your Spirit, who remains with us and in us now and forever. God, we pray that, as the Apostle Paul writes, we can be the body of Christ, that we can be your whole body. Help us be hands that heal. Help us be arms that carry the weary. Help us be eyes that see all of your children. Help us be ears that hear the quiet voices, mouths that speak the truth, smiles that bring joy, shoulders to cry on, legs that march for justice, feet that stand for love. Help us make you real, truly, truly real, so your kingdom of love can be close enough to touch on earth as it is in heaven. Let's sing together.